I'm not like them, but I can pretend. I think I'm dumb, maybe just happy. I think I'm dumb.
All right, what's up? What up, homies and homos? It's Thoughts and Prayers. We're back.
Yo.
All right.
The homies outnumber the homos today.
Today they do. We're here with Eric, also known as Cold Pony. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
Welcome.
Before we let him introduce ourselves, you can let us know if you guys think homies and homos is lame. Whoever you were that mentioned Mike eating on the pod, thank you. It's been noted. And I will not consume anything but water. I appreciate the feedback. Anyway, that's just for everyone out there. Eric, how are you today?
I'm really good. I'm super stoked to be here. Really pumped
to meet you. We met last year in your, I guess, was it called the Carnivore Chat?
Yeah, it was called, I had another name for it, was something to do with cowboys, but we met through, I think it was through Balenciaga, maybe?
Yeah, I liked your chat, because it was like a lot of like health advice, but like, it wasn't pretentious, so.
No,
I was sad when it dissipated. But anyway, our first question we always ask our listeners is, how the fuck did you end up on this corner of Twitter? That's kind of, and you were actually going through some of it with me, so it seems like you have an interesting sort of, you've had many accounts and many aliases.
I have had many accounts. Jack got me a couple times and Elon got me a couple of times. I am not hostile anymore. I'm very nice now because I do not want to get deleted anymore. I've been evading bans for the last like year, but I started on here during the riots in 2020.
Okay.
I was never online. I never had social media. I never had anything. Like my whole 20s, I was in the army and I did, like, I was a total normie. I just like, it was not online. I did not get on until I was locked down. And I had nothing else to do. And I was like, I'm going to go on Twitter. and I actually was like super normie. I was not like a liberal lefty who became like a hardcore right winger. I was actually like super embarrassingly like a libertarian. Like,
wow.
I was very like.
Not that embarrassing.
Well, I was like, I like Michael Malice and like.
That's brave that you, I think it's very brave.
So. I know that it's everybody's like a left to right shift. And I had like a very like, I don't, you know, like I don't really have any values. I just like chaos. And I just like, I was very just stupid. I don't know, whatever. But so actually what happened was Michael Malice. I started following Michael Malice. And I got really into Michael Malice and his whole, like, let's try anarchy. Come on, everybody. And I was like, oh, cool. And then it was kind of from there. It was like Michael Malice, Thaddeus Russell. Then I found out about the Perfume Nationalists and Gavin McInnes, who I knew about Gavin McInnes because of Vice. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand how he kind of fit into, like, the greater Twitter culture sphere. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came in through, like, that.
Is he on Twitter?
He is now, I think.
Banned. Oh, really?
Now that Elon's on, I think him and Alex Jones, who, what a disappointment Alex Jones' Twitter ended up being. Like, what?
No.
He was off for so long that you were like, once he gets back on, it's going to be crazy. And it's been nonsense the whole time. Like,
he's revealed himself to be a total controlled opposition shill at this
point. I think he got put... I heard about Alex Jones in Austin, Texas in 2009 through a girl I was dating. Like, I was in Austin and the girl was like, have you heard Alex Jones, like, chemtrails? And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is crazy, chemtrails. I was like 25. Mm-hmm. And
she sounds cool.
Yeah, like, it was like, you know, he would be out on the steps like of like the Capitol building protesting, but like, they're going to poison the frogs and everything. Like, he was doing that then outside in your face, like with a microphone walking around. Like, he was like just a dude back then. So yeah. I think after he got fined $1 billion.
Oh, I thought you were saying your girlfriend was doing that. I was like, wow, you're based ass 25-year-old girl.
No, she was doing that kind of shit too. That's how I, yeah, for sure. She was like this like weird, it was like a weird thing. It was like before I met my wife, it was just this girl I was dating who's like, did you know that like the government's trying to kill, you know, like tinfoil hat shit. And
well, but that used to be like an Austin thing too, like how yeah. that kind of right. attitude was like keep Austin weird, where they were like actually weird like that, you know?
They really were weird like that, and it wasn't like a left right thing. It was mm-hmm. like
totally
it was like at that time everything was like an amalgamation of everything. It was just sort of anti whatever the powers that be.
Mm-hmm. Which, I think is kind of like where we're at and stuff. And that was like Richard Linklater came out of Austin and like he was kind of on that vibe. And like, and he had Alex Jones in a couple of his movies as well.
Richard Linklater, you're talking about the dude who did Waking Life and Scanner Darkly. And
He also did the famous Austin movies Slackers, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like
That's like the quintessential old Austin. Well, I mean, now that Austin's obviously gone, it's like filled with like Asian tech nerds. But
Austin was like so cool. And then Austin is like this place that you can find anywhere now. Like you can find Austin if you go to Nashville. Like you can find Austin. It's like they took Silver Lake and then they found out like a way to clone it. And then they were like, we just put a mural on the wall. And
totally. They were just they were like, Portland is Silver Lake. Seattle's Silver Lake. Like Austin.
Yeah. It's a really weird thing because I remember going to Austin when I was in the army and I was like super normcore and I was like, whoa, this is like an interesting place. This is like, something's really happening here. And then I went back to it like years later and I was like, it's just like, shitty Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Fucking hate it. Anyway, so long story short, Michael Malice, I was a right wing libertarian type of anarcho capitalist type dude. And then, you know, just kind of kept following like the accounts, like the weirder and more niche and more, you know. And then I had an account and then I got a couple thousand followers on there and I got for telling people to hurt themselves because I was an angry young, just bored. I didn't know you couldn't do this. I was just like, I had no concept of like social media etiquette at all.
Well, like, in that time when you got online was basically when they really started ramping up all the censorship stuff.
For sure. And I was never anonymous. I didn't know that you were supposed to be anonymous because I didn't grow up on the internet. Mm-hmm. I was like a weird person. All my friends were on the internet. But, like, I didn't know.
Did the military give a... were you still in the military when you started posting, or you were out?
No, I was out. It was, like, 2020. I'm old.
Do you know if the military lets people post, or is there, like, rules against that?
As it's not anti-American or, like, anti-military, anti-government, they let people post. But the military is very different now. I work with a guy who just got out after 20 years, and from what I understand, I got out 15 years ago and he just got out. And from what I understand, it's very different than it was 15 years ago.
Were you in Iraq or Afghanistan?
I wasn't. I went in, I had a combat position, I volunteered, and I never got sent over there. I was like, this is actually a weirdly common thing is because the military is so big and there's so many people in the actual army that, you just get put in random places. I spent most of my time in Korea at the border of North Korea.
Oh.
I was like in one weird shootout with North Korea in 2011. That was like, it was all over the news because they sank one of a South Korean ship. And then we kind of got into like a back and forth, but I sat in the back of an ambulance while they were shooting. And I watched like Gilmore Girls DVDs that I had. Somebody had given us like a box of free DVDs.
No, and Gold Pony, come on. You got to give her, you got to make up some shit about this now.
No, I got to keep it real all the way. It was nonsense. I was like on the border of Pyongyang, just like watching Gilmore Girls and like just smoking cigs in the back of an ambulance. weeks in the middle of the wintertime, freezing my ass off. That's like waiting for like World War II. I was like, what's, or World War III. I was like, what's going on? And they were like, what are you doing in there? And I was like, nah, we're just watching Gilmore Girls.
Sorry to our gay simp listeners. We're not going to, you're not going to get any hot combat content from.
Yeah. Well, the military is a lot gayer than you think. So I was there when they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Nice.
Was it, were they all like, my grandpa literally told me he's very anti-gay or whatever. I don't know. He did the most, I guess, sort of pro-gay thing I ever heard him say was, you know, in World War II, those guys just, they were all sort of just doing that. No one cared. that was like the closest I ever heard my grandpa acknowledge gay sex, which was funny. But
was he in the Navy?
Yeah. I don't think
that's Marine Corps behavior right there.
But like, did repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell change anything? Because everyone I've always talked to said it was always kind of chill, no one really gave a shit, and then afterwards, like, it just didn't really change much.
No, everybody knew who everybody, like, you spend so much time with everybody, like, you know who's gay, because, first of all, nobody even tried to hide it. Like, there was no, I remember the first time I met, like, a gay man who was, like, in a position of power when I was in my unit, and he was open. Like, we would, like, he's like, oh, we're all going out to a club.
I mean, if you think about it, sorry, I'm interrupting. I always,
no, that's fine.
Like, if you think about it, it's like the military is all these, like, kind of like kids at their horniest.
Yeah.
All like locked in these like isolated situations. I'm sure lots of sex of all kinds is happening, would be my guess.
Absolutely. Plus, yeah. Also, like, people, you just, like, you kind of, you get to know people on like a deeper level because, like you said, like, it's a bunch of kids and you're like in this pressure cooker in like these like weird social situations where you're like isolated. So you like just kind of, you know, eventually it's like if a guy's talking with a lisp and he's like, you know, every time you're in the shower, he's like staring at your dick. Like eventually you're like, hey, dude, are you gay? And usually they're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, it's just how it is. Like you live with these people. You're supposed to fight and die with these people. So you kind of get to know each other pretty quick.
Yeah.
But then when they repealed that, it was literally like, okay, everybody back to work. Like, nobody gave a shit. And plus, like, most of the military is either white men from the South or it's black women from the South. Like, that's the that's the dominant makeup. And most of those black women who are in any position of power are lesbians. Hmm. Like, you don't see lesbians anymore because they're all in the Army. That's where they went. Like, that's where they're, just in case you guys were like, where are all the lesbians? They didn't transition, they're in the military.
Did you know any trans army people?
That wasn't a thing yet. This was 2011. Trans people didn't exist until 2014.
Yeah, that's kind of true. All right,
we had transvestites in the 80s, but that's not the same thing.
I mean they existed, but there was like one out of a million.
It was Rocky Horror Picture Show transvestites. It was like Candy Darling from Andy Warhol and like the Factory days. And then 40 years went by and nobody ever heard about them. And then suddenly it was 2014 and they were like, hey, everybody's trans now. The first trans person I ever met who was like, I'm transgender was a writer for the show Transparent, musician. She came into the salon that I was working at and I did her hair.
That show was really bad.
I never watched it. And what
I watched some of it.
It was like a 7-foot tall dude with a wig though, who was like, hey, I've
and
like,
then apparently he was like molesting people on the set or something.
Yeah, not Lady. Let's be clear. Not Lady J.
The main Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor. No. Not the singer.
I don't want to see his suit.
No, Lady J. Listen. I'm notoriously not into the whole trans thing, but like anybody who knows me on Twitter, any of my accounts knows. Like, this isn't for me. This isn't my culture.
Yeah,
I live and let live. That's like my attitude towards most things. Like, you do what you want to do. I'm gonna do what I want to do. I have been outspoken about this. I am less outspoken about this
now. Wow, she is like a fucking cinder block, but
it is a giant person. It is a giant person in a giant body.
But I'll say, you know, whatever. Yeah, good.
Very nice person, though. super talented.
She could probably kick my ass.
So, yeah. Speaking of trans in the military, did you at any point feel that you were a subject of a psychological or medical experiment?
Not because of anything to do with trans people, but when you're in the military, there's a lot of conspiratorial talk about like testing programs, mm-hmm. and you get pumped full of so many vaccines.
Yes, yes.
And you get subjected to so many different social training things. They're pretty open about the training stuff, mm-hmm. but the way they frame it to you is like your cycle at boot camp. We call it basic in the Army, but boot camp is, you know, the whole concept that everybody gets. Like, there's different things that are going on. Each group is under a different program at any given time, and they're observing to see, like, they track your trajectory during your career, and they see, like, how did this work? Like, how did this affect these guys? Like, did this help? So there was a lot of, like, they're putting saltpeter in the food so nobody is getting erections during basic. Like, you're not... That's not a joke. That's happening to you. They will say that it's not happening if you ask them. They're like, no, that's a wives' tale. But for 11 weeks, you're training together. You're working out very hard. And nobody is ever getting a hard-on.
Interesting.
And everybody's talking about it. Everybody's like, hey, have you guys noticed that like your stuff's not working in the morning time? Like, there's no and everybody's very,
and you're all like a bunch of like 18 to 20 year old dudes, like,
yeah, dude, yeah. I was 23 when I went in,
yeah,
and every dude I know was in there was like, hey, what the fuck, like, what's going on here? And they're shoveling food. It's not like you're starving. It's not like your body's just shut down because you're just not eating enough food. Like, you're eating food and you're working out and they're sticking you with stuff and you don't know what it is. And then one day they tell you, they go, okay, you guys have hit like the blue phase. You hit like these phases, like red, white, and blue. And it's like 8 weeks in, and they're like, all right, tomorrow we're going to reintroduce like butter into your diet. So you guys might feel different. And you're like, okay. Whoa, that's and weird. Then all of a sudden, like the next day, they're like, it's not that you like suddenly everybody's farting because you're eating dairy. It's like everybody feels terrible suddenly out of nowhere. Collectively, like 60 dudes, like, ugh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, maybe that wasn't butter they were putting in there.
Yeah, and they're so crazy about you drinking the Powerade. It's the whole thing was like...
Interesting. I never knew about that aspect of it. That's interesting.
Was everyone like super in shape? Like, it sounds hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's super hard, yeah. Yeah, everybody's in really good shape. It's really hard. You work it. Boot camp is like you wake up at 5 a.m. and then you just like work out all day long and like carry around 80 pounds of equipment and like battle gear and then do drills and shoot guns. You just play army all day every day for like 11 weeks.
I feel it's like very hard. Like fat people though in military fatigues, but I guess
there are fat people. There are fat people, and they get medical. They get what's called a medical profile, which allows them to be fat and out of shape and still be in the military. But they get a lot of those people get a lot of people get kicked out though.
Mm. Wow,
they
because I thought you have to be there's like some physical standard. You got to be do a certain number of push-ups and pull-ups and all that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, they have a PT test that you have to do. Yeah. You have to do it like quarterly.
With women not being able to be in certain battalions because like no woman could like they would have had to change the standards for a woman to be able to even do some
combat jobs. Yeah, you can't do infantry, which is like the main combat job. They could do support only. And then there was a period of time, I don't know if you guys remember, it's like 2016. They were like, oh, we're going to let women do combat jobs. And like only one could pass the special forces training thing. And then they sort of like quietly.
Interesting.
Like it was such a failure that they didn't announce that it went away, but like they just stopped.
Yeah, I didn't know that because I remember when that was announced, I didn't know they walked it back.
Yeah, it was like one chick passed the ranger. I mean,
it's just like a woman. I mean, like, this is like just observing, like, just most women I women are a lot smaller than dudes for the most part, you know?
Yeah, like, it's crazy that people act like this is like a shocking thing. Women are physically, their frames, their like bones are smaller.
Yeah, they look most of the time. And we had a funny conversation in a group chat today about tall ass women. But
yeah,
the majority of the time, they're a lot smaller than.
But even the tall ones have like bird bones. Like they're not like. Like a man's like is like a fucking man. You see a man and a man's like, look, I'm a dude. Like there's like no way to even like super faggy dudes and super like feminine dudes are still dudes. Like they're still like got some fucking thing going on.
Yeah. Whereas
chicks are like made out of cardboard. Like they're not like, do you know what I mean? There's like no, yeah. Even like I mean, the big ones, you're like, ah, get the hell out of here.
And I mean, there are some strong women who can probably like kick my ass, but like, you know, like they're the exception to the rule, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Generally speaking, listen, my daughter and my son are both, my daughter's probably more physically, she likes to do physical stuff more than my son does. Like she just likes to do it. She likes to jump rope. She likes to wrestle. She likes to do the physical stuff. But like she's a little girl, like my son still could probably kick her ass. Just like put the video games down and just by sheer, there's just like a difference in your body.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, for sure. I think it's that's fair to say.
That being said, I would be scared if Pearl or a woman like that like came at me like full force. Like she kind of looks like a linebacker. Like
she's got like a width to her. She's got like a
I think Pearl maybe could take down some dudes.
Yeah, she's blocking the wind. She's like she's like the Lee of the Stone or whatever. You could like hide out from a hurricane behind her.
Yeah. We haven't talked much about your music. Do you want to talk more about, tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. What do you want to know about like what I'm doing currently or just generally or how?
I know you have a new, I think I saw on Twitter, you have a new project coming out.
Do you I have a new record coming out. It's Gold Pony at the Vampire Disco Club. It is a disco album. It is a record that I had actually produced. I have worked under various names throughout the years. I did a small stint in the record label industry in Los Angeles when I lived in Los Angeles. And I've talked about this extensively when I was on a couple other podcasts, but I was a celebrity hairdresser in LA for a long time. And then I moved back into music after like being a musician as a kid. I was kind of involved in like the emo.
Are you like 150 years old?
I'm almost 40.
I feel like you've had a lot of lives.
I have had a lot of lives. I have a very abnormal life. I've had a very abnormal life.
And we're like a similar age. I'm 35, so we're not.
I'll be 39 in June. Okay. 4 years older than you. That's a lot can happen in 40. But like, think about this. Okay, listen, I started out playing music when I was a kid, but I lived in Sacramento. During the Rise Records era, like my roommate was the singer for a band called Dance Gavin Dance, who was like a screamo band.
Okay.
And so I kind of got like involved in like record label stuff during that period of time, but like nothing really did anything. Then I went to the army. Then I was a hairdresser.
Okay.
While I was a hairdresser, I got back into music in LA.
Well, how did you get, did you learn that in the army? Is that what they're teaching everybody over
there? To be a hairdresser? Yeah. He didn't go to war, make them do hair. When I got out of the army, I was like 26 and I was like, I'm going to go be a hairdresser because my mom told me it would make money.
Oh, interesting.
So I went to Beverly Hills and I became a celebrity hairdresser. I mean, that was a whole journey.
It's not stupid advice by any means. I mean, like, I feel like getting your kid to do a trade is like kind of smart, you know?
Yeah, plus straight guy in the hair industry is something that is notoriously successful. Like,
were you molested like a lot? Like, did a lot of gay guys try to hit on you? I'm sure they tried
constantly, but because of that, I got a ton of work.
Right.
Because like I would get like, I mean, I worked for like, I assisted like three really, I got a lot of really good jobs just because people wanted to sit this.
Okay, drop the name. Who's the molestiest?
I mean, honestly, like, okay, there's a guy named Guy Romeo. Like, he's probably the molestiest, but He was also, there was a lot of the gay guys were actually super cool, if I'm being honest. Like, they were always, like, very, like, they want you to want them, but if you don't, then they're kind of, like, they're more hurt by it than they are, like, they're more hurt than hostile. Do you know what I mean?
Are there any, like, straight celebrities or celebrity-adjacent industry people who you think probably are gay, if you had to guess?
I mean, if I had to guess,
yeah. Like, finding out, like, P. Diddy's gay, like, you know, I guess everyone sort of,
everybody knows, though. Here's the thing. Do you guys remember the Download documentary in the 2000s?
Yeah, I do. Okay,
so a lot of people don't know about the Download documentary, but when that came out, that was, like, the 2000s. Like, that blew the lid off the whole entire, like, all gay, all black men in the rap industry are gay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, a secret thing. In Hair, it's unsurprisingly most of the men are gay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So... No, it was actually super chill. Everybody was really nice. It was very.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
I didn't love it. I did it purely because I thought it was going to make me a lot of money, and it did for a period of time. But then I got back into music because that was what I always loved to do, and because of that, my brother, he's a producer and he worked for labels, so I kind of got in with him, and I kind of got in through. Around the time of, there's a group called Terror Jr., who was like a pop group. Like, they kind of were like part of the early PC Music, A.G. Cook, hyper pop thing that, like, 2014, like when that was starting. I kind of got in with this group. So it's just like a lot of social networking, like in person, partying, hanging out. Like. But because of that, like, I had a band, our band started to, like, kind of get some movement, and then because of that, people wanted to work with me, so I started becoming a songwriter. And then when all of that ended, right around the time of COVID, I left LA, and I started putting out solo records. So that nice. Kind of, yeah, so, like, I did a lot of stuff. I have done a lot of things, and my life has been very, I would say it would be interesting if I wrote a book. Well, if somebody else wrote a book, not if I, it would be terrible if I wrote it, but it would be interesting if somebody told the story. But yeah, I'm putting out a record now, Gold Pony at the damn fucking the Vampire Disco Club. I had a band called Vampire Disco Club. And then, so this is like all the music that I made during that time that never got released.
I got it. I mean, I'm into the name. I like vampires. I like disco.
Vampire Disco Club is just like a cool idea.
I wish I knew more. I know A knows a ton about music, and I don't. So I don't know all the references. Like, I don't know what hyper pop is, for instance. But
100 Gex. 100 Gex. 100 Gex. Charlie XCX. That's hyper pop.
Okay, thank you.
anything that, like, in the 2000s, all the pop music would be like, bump, 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 ba-da-dum, bump, bump.
Okay.
So there's like a Kylie lip commercial, and they had a song on there, and then that was like the first hyperpop song.
I definitely understand Charlie XCX. Like, I understand that sound.
Yeah. So bum, bum, bum. All the songs are the same. They're like, dun, 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 dun.
So I guess getting into our sort of topic, you don't have to, if this is too doxy, you don't have to answer this, but how many kids do you have, and like, when did you... How old-ish are they? If you don't want to give the number, you could just, I don't know, whatever. You decide how much you want to say about your brood.
I have 4 kids.
Okay.
2 are with my wife.
Okay.
Two are older and are not. 2 are from my younger days when I was a little bit less planned about things, and 2 are with my wife.
Are the first 2 same baby mama or 2 separate baby mamas?
2 separate baby mamas. Wow. I'm definitely a 4 kids by 3 different women.
Which you like are the meme of the Ben Affleck. Like, we have the Ben Affleck meme as our cover photo, where he just looks like a man with like multiple mortgages, just like so stressed out. Like, you're like really living that life,
except for no stress. I post a lot of Point Break stuff because it is the beach inside of my mind 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I am living on the beach psychologically. Like, I went from Los Angeles to South Florida I am always in the beach in my mind. Like, I don't stress. I don't worry. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow and I would be fine.
Are your older kids like in college or like at like college age now?
One of them is a teenager.
Okay.
One of them is the oldest one. It was sort of like, I didn't know it was my kid until many years later on because the mom got pregnant and didn't want me involved. Cause I was like,
damn, Gold Pony, you got a dog in you.
I was a wild dude until I'm like a very tame guy now, and I'm very much like, I want to love everybody in Kumbaya, but I was a pretty wild dude until like,
yeah,
just a short period of time.
And your newest kids are little-ish, I'm guessing, or younger.
Yeah, third and fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, they're cool. They're good. I have two boys and two girls. Older, nice. Older boy, older girl, older, younger boy, younger girl.
Well, I thought you guys both laughed at my topic idea, but I thought you both could give some like dad advice, maybe being like a creative person and being a dad, but it sounds like maybe you just kind of do it and there's not a lot of advice to give.
Yeah. I'm actually curious about your music, eh?
I don't like to get too detailed with it,
but
I've been in music stuff, I mean, my whole life since I was, you know, a teenager, early teenager, and in various forms. So I've seen it all.
Do you put stuff out now? Or are you like
a little
like
bit?
I'm not asking you, is it something you could send me a link of like offline and we could just,
yeah, for sure.
I'm front facing, like there's not any, if somebody wanted to, you know what I mean?
It's always I couldn't not do it, you know what I mean? It's just something
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's always going to be something. It takes different forms. I mean, right now it's just like I've got little kids, like even younger than yours, so you know, late nights and gigs and whatever, it's just not really like what's happening in my life right now. But
I feel like that is something that is going, like I thought that was over for me permanently, like the nightlife part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I get older, I'm sort of like, oh, like I actually could probably start playing shows again in the next year or so. Mm-hmm. Like my kid, now that they're older, they don't really need me to like, well, they don't really want me to be as involved. They're like kind of, you know what I mean, like as they approach puberty, they're kind of like, okay, like you go do your thing.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, even like whatever, they can wake up in the morning and like make themselves breakfast or whatever, and you can like sleep it off or what, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like the biggest part of it is just having that perspective though too, because I also thought for a long time like, oh, like my time is over with this. Like, you know, like you tried, you were involved, you did it a little bit, but like now you have kids and a family. But as I get closer to 40, I'm kind of like, oh, the whole new life is about to open up.
Yeah,
like, right. It's actually like, actually we're about to be flirty and 40. Like we don't know what like the future holds. Like I might actually have a whole second new chapter coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. Have some more kids, you know.
I'm doing more. I didn't know how much you AA would want to talk about music, so, but I mean, I do think it's interesting because, like, I do think we're all at an age where I at one point thought like, by 35, you're like just fucking done with like all creative endeavors or whatever. Like maybe you made it. Like I guess I'm thinking back to when I was 20. I'm like, well, you made it by then. And if you didn't make it, you're just
that's it. You die.
You're dying. But like, actually, like a lot of people I know are like doing way more shit now than they were in their 20s because, you know, they're in their 20s, everyone was still like partying so hard. It's like everyone talked a lot about making stuff, but there wasn't a lot of like actually like buckling down and making stuff, you know? And
Absolutely. Now
it's like, as my friends are, you know, approaching and being in their mid 30s, some of them are really like starting to do some cool creative stuff that's really impressed me. And I'm kind of like, yeah, this whole idea that if you like don't make it by like 25, it's like, you know, it's like over is kind of retarded. You know?
It is, but it's also, I think the reason that it's retarded now though is because the world has changed and we're still like the world. I've said this before and I'm not trying to bring up old shit, but like the world ended 7 years ago. Okay. The world actually, and I don't mean like the world is dead. We're all dead. And it's, I'm not talking like that, but I mean like society ended, right? Like 7 years ago, right? Around the Trump time, and people went bonkers. And then everybody is in this place where everyone's like, oh, things have changed recently. Like, no, things changed so long ago that we are just now catching up with them. And the reality is that there is no limitation. There is no boundary. Everything is boundless now creatively. And that is bad in some ways because now there is no cohesive culture that keeps all of us caring together. But it's also opened us up to where like just like our little area of Twitter or whatever is its own microcosm. And so you can have a whole career with a couple thousand people on Twitter supporting your individual thing. It's never going to be like the I made it thing that it was when we were growing up, right? Because that's over. Like there is no after streaming. There's none of that.
Like, I mean, it's so true. Go ahead, Ace.
I mean, to me, it's also just like no one really makes it. I mean, a very few people do like have the like rags to riches thing, but like mostly the people who become successful in any field are people who are basically born into it. Their dad was in a band or like a producer or, you know, whatever.
For sure.
Like, or they're independently wealthy and can just, they don't like have to like work and they can just do, I mean, and sure, there are some people who like, who just like are so talented and lucky and et cetera that they make it. But like,
but that's not what makes up the music culture.
Right.
Like the industry.
Exactly. And so, yeah, exactly. Like the more realistic thing is that like, there's just a group of people who are kind of make up the scene who just like do it because they love doing it. And that is like, that is the culture, you know?
Absolutely. I just think now though, like it's a testament to actually to like Zoomers. Cause like, I think people rag on them a lot, but like they don't really care as much about like your age or what you look like, or like if you fit their aesthetic or whatever. A lot of the Zoomers that I've met, like they're as into whatever is due as they are into like Steely Dan. So like that gives me like the impression that like, at 40, I can put out a new record and have an entire 10-year run with an idea. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to be like, oh, like, you know, he's like fat now and has like a gray hair or he's going bald or whatever. Like, nobody gives a shit, man. Like, is it good or is it not good? Mm-hmm. And that's all I mean by like the culture, that shit's over. Like that whole idea is over. But we were raised in that. Our generation was. Mm-hmm. You know, like we got to grow up, we got to make it. And if we don't make it, then, you know, then you become a normie and you just suffer. and I went through that. I went through that for in my 30s. I was like, that's it. I missed, you know, I didn't make, I came close. I was in LA. I was in the business. I did the thing. I shook the hands. I had the parties. And now here I am. I'm just a dude. But now I'm kind of like, oh, fuck that. Like, I can still make something great that people love.
I mean, it's kind of like this whole, I mean, even just if you think about it, this whole little corner of Twitter with all these people doing like podcasts and shit, it's like,
absolutely.
It just like becomes its own little, you know, scene. And it's like success isn't necessarily like, I don't know what, I don't even know whatever, like making a ton of money off of it. But success is maybe just like being part of the architecture of this, you know, this kind of like crew of people that are having fun and making shit. You know,
yeah, exactly. It's your contribution to the moment, to what's happening, and hopefully, yeah, like making an original or interesting contribution. But I do, okay, so I have a question for you, Eric, dad related.
Okay.
So, and I'm curious about this for myself because I don't know what I'm going to do, but what is your approach to, I guess, like, you know, having your kids kind of forming their consciousness and, you know, being in the schools and getting the indoctrination and all that stuff? Like, how do you approach all that?
That's a hard one, because my kids just this year have gone to a private charter, and before they were in a public school. Mm-hmm. And a public school in Florida is very, like, they're very tolerant, but they're dealing more with Latin culture issues than they are, like, the greater world issue. Whereas now that they're in, like, the super liberal, ostensibly better school, right? Because, like, liberal institutions tend to actually be better as far as, like, the depth of, or I should say the how broad the spectrum is that they have involved. Now they're dealing with trans kids. Now they're dealing with these issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I handle it is I'm very honest with them when they ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever, like, go, this is how you need to feel about this stuff. But, like, they have a trans, my son has a trans kid in his class.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much his lesbian mom who is making him do this, okay? Because this kid does not have, like, this kid wants to play Fortnite. He doesn't give a shit. I've met him. I've been on a field trip. He's a nice kid. He's just a kid, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the mom clearly, like, you know, the mom has the asymmetrical undercut and an all Adidas tracksuit. So does the son, who is now the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Same haircut. It's like this was the daughter that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's making the daughter. So there was an issue where all the boys got in trouble for picking on this kid. Nobody told them to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just how boys are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to tell my son, like, hey, listen, like, you don't have to like this. This isn't something I'm going to ask you to be into or to accept. Like, you don't have to do that. But you have to treat people with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to treat people with respect. Regardless of what this kid's particular annoyance is for you. Because this kid was sort of, like, I think, provoking everybody by being...
Well, and the boys, I'm sure, like, instinctually, like, perceive this kid as, like, a boy.
They do 100%.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, they don't... Anyway, whatever. Like,
they're we're picking on you because you're trans. They're picking on this boy because he's a fucking nerd.
He's a weirdo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody brought up the fact that he was trans.
Yeah. And to them, the rules of, like, how, you know, obviously boys pick on girls too, but they pick on them in a different way. But it's like instinctually, they're just, yeah, they're treating him like they would a weird boy, which is
exactly
that's what they just understand on an intuitive level.
Yeah, you know? And these are all also, like, well-to-do kids in suburban areas. So when I say pick on, I mean they were, like, kind of razzing this kid a little bit. They weren't, like, beating the shit out of him. It wasn't like public school where you get, like, your head put into the locker or whatever. We went, like, I grew up in a public school. You get your fucking ass kicked.
Was like ripping the weave out of someone else's head.
Yeah. It's not like monkeys, like, beating the shit out of each other and, like, apes on the playground or whatever. Like, they were like, hey, you know, like, you're not cool. And then the kid was like, I'm fucking telling on you. And then they were like,
yeah, exact fucking little wiener, you know?
Yeah. So this is what I said to him. Like, you got to treat people with respect. I don't want you picking on people, cause I don't want you to be that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just don't pick on people. Like, the fact that you're picking on this kid because it doesn't matter to me what the reason is.
Right.
I just don't want you picking on people because I don't want you to be a prick.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And it's the same thing, like, with my daughter. My daughter was like, my friend told me that she's a lesbian, right? Because these are, like, 8-year-olds. And I'm like, okay, so how does she even know? You know what I mean? Like, nobody's thinking like that at 8. And maybe if they are, then there's something else going on there. Because, like, sex was not on the registry at 8 years old.
No.
I
will say I did have crushes on girls at that age, but I didn't have, like, a sexual identity. I wasn't conceptualizing it that way.
Exactly. Like, yeah. But somebody has introduced these ideas to kids.
Of course.
Right? At a younger age. So the same thing I told my daughter. I was like, well, do you like this girl? Is she your friend? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, is it an issue? And she was like, I don't care. She was like, but I don't know, like, what am I supposed to say? She told me this today. Like, this was like a couple months ago. Like, her friend was like, walked over to her and was like, I'm a lesbian. And I was like, she just said it to you like that? And she was like, actually, yeah, she just walked up to me and said it. And I was like, what did you say? She goes, I just said okay, because I was playing with the bubbles and I didn't know what else to say.
It's weird, like, to think about. It's what's weird is like this self-identifying, like, I was probably called gay or like a faggot or something by like older kids, maybe by the time I was like 9 or 10. It's like, yeah. Unsurprising given
my they knew, but yeah.
Yeah, but like it was by older kids who were like already, you know, like
there,
right. But like this self-identifying by these little kids is what's very weird to me, because it's like, yeah, I don't know. That's obviously very new, because I don't remember anyone.
Well, like, I'll just say this, like, to short answer. I'm very honest with my kids. We're religious. We're Eastern Catholic in my family. And the kids have heard my priest talk about these topics and things like that. And his advice is like very, you know, very compassionate. There's a lot of compassion. And that's where I'm at right now in my life, is like, I don't want to abuse somebody for any reason. So I don't want my kids to abuse anybody for any reason.
For sure.
But I think,
like, even stuff like not, well, Q, did you have something on that?
Well, I just wanted to say, like, I think the truth is like, our side, or whatever, to the extent there even is a side, like, of course, no one wants to be cruel to anyone's, like, to anyone, like, in person, of course. But I think what is, like, being recognized, at least, is, like, the cruelty is really coming from, like the tyranny is really coming from, like, the other side. Like,
disguised as compassion. Yeah.
Right, disguised as compassion. Like, this whole, like all of it. Like, right. I'm implicating gay, lesbian, trans. Like, all of it is, like, it's, like, that's where, like, there actually is kind of some cruelty and all this stuff. But it's, so it's, like, because, like, no one I've ever met, like, even people who are, like, whatever, like, trans is fake as fuck, or gay is fake as fuck, like, whatever, like, all this stuff is, like, you know, like, none of them are ever, or even, like, it's immoral. Like, it's immoral for a man to have sex with a man. Even people, I've met many people like that over the last couple of years. None of them are, like, cruel in person to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, all of them are, like, totally chill, fine people to hang out with. But it's just funny, like, having previously been in, like, queer spaces, there's, like, a ton of, like, manipulative cruelty, like, constantly. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Oh, like, you're more privileged than me, and so therefore, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Whatever.
And so what I was gonna say is that, like, we've just been talking about the one dimension of it, which is, like, the gender and sexuality aspect.
But I think that's the biggest thing. But yeah, but go ahead.
But it applies to other stuff too. I mean, even with, like, COVID, like, you have, you know, like, oh, like, you want to kill grandma? You don't want to, you know? It's like, well, no, I don't. I just think it's. The government shouldn't have the power to lock everyone in their home, and that's a greater wrong than, like, the idea that, like, breathing near your grandmother is considered murder.
Right.
But,
well, my kids haven't experienced that, though. Like, no, we left LA and we moved to Florida because of that.
Yeah.
And we didn't get vaccinated, and we did tell them, like, straight up, like, we don't do this. We're very honest that the government is, we are honest with them that there is something wrong with the world. And that this is all part of it, but it's, like, only in as much as it is appropriate to tell a 10-year-old this kind of stuff. Right. I'm also very cagey about, like, indoctrinating them and making them into, like, tinfoil hat people, because I want them to be sociable. And just to, like, cap off my last point, sorry, but, like, I'm outspokenly against transgenderism. Like, I am not for it at all. So when I talk about being compassionate,
I said we are too.
I'm just saying, but when I talk about being compassionate, I don't mean, like, the liberal sort of, like, fake forced tolerance. I mean, like, I'm praying for these people because I feel like they're hurting themselves. Yeah. I don't want to see anybody. And so I've had to come from, like, I think on our side, there's so much rejection of the status quo that's being forced on us that it turns into, like, it goes from defense to hatefulness. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is fighting fire with fire, and I don't want to do that. So that's all I meant by, like, my compassion is not, like, be tolerant, be compassionate, let these people run over you and destroy your lives.
Oh, no, I totally understood what you were saying. I was just making the point that, like, these people that previously in my head, yeah, like, 4 or 5 years ago in my lib era, like, maybe even people like you that I would have thought of as, like, hateful, like, when I've encountered them and actually hung out with them in real life, none of them
for are. Sure.
They're all extremely chill, even if their, like, personal beliefs are, like, you know, like, you shouldn't have a boyfriend or whatever. Like, even if they believe that, like, they don't give a fuck about hanging. So it's just been interesting to see the difference. Whereas, like, I felt like I was in, like, constant psychological Bene Gesserit torture and, like, the queer...
When I was in L.A., because I was pretty hip on all the queer stuff when I was in L.A. Like, I was with it. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Okay, you want to be a lady, and that's cool, and you're my friend. I got, like, full-on kicked off a label and had a whole drama for tweeting bad shit on my first account. Like, and I got kicked out of a friend group because I told a friend of mine not to transition. And she was like, what do you mean? Like, I thought you were in support of all this stuff. And I was like, but I was confronted with having to deal with it in real time. And so it went from being like, I was always supportive of it in conversation because I never thought about it. Everyone was like, oh yeah, I'm pro-trans. Yeah, cool, me too. What does that mean? But then my friend sits me down and goes, I'm going to get, you know, surgery. And I knee-jerk reaction was like, don't do it. Like, don't do this. Like, what are you doing? Don't do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I've definitely told now at this point in my life, like, trans people that I feel close enough with, I'm like, please don't do anything surgical, because that's, like, the worst.
It's irreversible and it's going to fuck you up. And
I'm like, at least the pills, I'm like, theoretically you can stop taking them. And I mean, I'm sure they fuck you up too, but you know what I mean? Like, the surgery, the surgery is, like, awful. I mean, it's just so, I can't even believe it's legal. It's like,
and that's where I'm at with all of it. Like, the whole, it's all one big thing. Mm-hmm. I'm very like, this isn't like, this is how people are, but this isn't how we are with my kids.
Yeah.
And I've even had to talk to them about, like, black kids, because some of them are friends with black kids, and there's a difference there. And I don't mean, like, there's a difference because the kids are black and there's something wrong with them. I mean, there's a difference in how their culture is from our culture. And my son was having a hard time because he was, one of his friends was black, and the kid didn't like they're using, like, TikTok slang. But the kid, like, there was a conversation that was being had amongst his friends that went basically like, you can't say these slang things because you're white. And he was like, how come I can't say these things? And I was like, I had to be like, listen, when you hang out with your black friends and their black family, they don't see you the same. Like, white people, we tolerate everybody, right? Like, everybody is our friend. We don't judge them based on their skin color. We just judge them on who they are, because that's how we've been raised. That's how I raise my kids. But that's not how they treat you. They see you as different. You're a white person to them. And I had to kind of break that down, not to my youngest, but to my son. I had to be like, hey, like, that's why this person, every time you do, because it wasn't just one thing, it was like multiple things that he kind of kept getting into these, like, social faux pas of, like, you know, they all talk a certain way, so he started talking a certain way. And they were like,
funny, because, like, in my experience, like, a long, long time ago, like, my very first job was working in a school in the Bronx, and, like, all the white kids, all the Latino kids, all the black kids all said the N-word soft A. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one gave a shit. Like, it was just like, that's what they all called each other. Like, I heard that word, like, 400 times a day.
Same.
White kids, Latino kids, black kids. It was just, like, a normal... Anyway, so it's just funny, like, clearly the culture's evolved. Because, like, that wasn't even really, like, a black thing. It was just, like, a culture thing.
Whatever, you know? And this was, like, a TikTok thing.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? This is like something that is like transcended race and it was like internet culture trickling down to 10-year-olds. But they were giving him a hard time because he's a white kid. So yeah. I have to like have those conversations now, which is weird because it's like
I think it's good you point that out because like I know so many, obviously, like living where I live in the New York area, like I know so many like white parents who like say things to their kids like, literally, I'm not even kidding, like say things to their kids like, you know, like let black kids speak in class before you, or like no. Make sure, like things like that, like that's how crazy over the line they are, like no, it's like
nuts,
it's like so, or like telling their like 8-year-old like you have internalized racism and like we really need to talk about your internalized racism. And I'm like, I can't believe they're having these conversations with their like little kids, you know? It's like,
mine is probably sounds like the opposite. My conversation has literally gone like this. These people are racist. They see you as a white person. They don't want you speaking like them because they don't see you as the same as them. The reason that we tolerate them is because we see them as the same as us. We don't see skin color. We see people. But yeah. You have to be aware that people see you as a white person and you need to be aware of that. And that's the truth. That's reality, because that's how all groups of people are everywhere on the planet always. And yeah. That's just how they are. They're not going to hate you for it necessarily, but they're going to have a Korean person. I lived in Korea. They're going to look at you and go, white people are so weird because you guys do this white thing. And they associate that with your skin color. That doesn't mean they hate your guts, but they're also going to be like, well, we don't do this. We're Korean. We do this differently.
They're observing a difference. Yeah. I mean,
it's normal to, it's weird how like abnormal it's become to like observe an obvious cultural difference. You know what I mean?
Not in my house, not in my family, not in my life.
I'm just dreading the day when, you know, I get my kid comes home from school and they're like, oh dad, like, we need to like get rid of the car because like the climate or whatever, you know, shit like that. And like,
they do that. They've done that one. Like, is the world going to die because of climate change? And then I show them the video of the Florida coastline. Cause they're being told in school that Florida is going to disappear in 10 years.
Go into the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're the fastest growing state in the United States. Okay. Like there's more construction. There's more new housing developments going up in my city than there is in any state on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. If it's like the real estate developers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, what's funny is like, I used to live in Hoboken, which is actually like below sea level, and they had like major flooding issues. It's like literally like 7 feet below sea level.
Right.
They just built like these like barrier walls, and basically it seems like it solved the problem is my point. And like there's basically no flooding in Hoboken now, even though during Sandy Hoboken was like completely fucked, right?
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like, why do we not think that humans are going to be smart enough to come up with solutions, even if you buy, like, let's just say, like, even if you buy global warming is true, like the climate has changed a ton in human history. Egypt, back in the ancient Egyptian civilization, it used to be like a, like sort of almost like, you know, arid. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, and there's still fucking people in Egypt and it's like a desert now. Like, I guess I'm just like, I hate the narrative that like, even if you buy the whole global warming thing, like, why isn't the narrative like, of course we're going to figure out new ways to keep surviving, like humans have always done when there's, you know,
because
like,
hope doesn't sell anything. People are programmed to react to fear.
Trauma-based mind control.
Hunted woolly mammoths in the Ice Age and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
But you can't. You won't buy anything if you're not afraid. And like I still, maybe this is a leftist. I don't know how everybody feels about this, but like I like consumerism is a problem on the human spirit. Okay, like I love to buy stuff. I love capitalism. Right. But consumerism is the idea that we are only existing to buy. And the
what if
fear,
85% of products bought by women, right?
Yeah, but like who's the most stressed out, right? Who's the most afraid? You know what I mean? Like we're being programmed. It's just fear and consumption, fear and consumption. It's the same thing that it's always been. It's just like now it's gotten to the place where consumerism is worse than it's ever been. Pollution is actually worse than it's ever been. The climate is actually better than it's ever been. But people don't want to look at the two things that are connected, which is pollution and consumerism. And if you think the world's going to last, you might not be so quick to throw all your money away. You might not be so quick to live for the short term, to sleep right. around.
They don't want you thinking and things. Planning for the future.
Exactly. Right? You have to be in a state of constant stress and panic mm-hmm. so you can consume goods and then ignore all of the holistic things that make your life good, like family, friendship, you know, mm-hmm. making love and taking a long walk in the sunlight. Like, you know, being outside, like working on your health.
Dude, liberals are literally terrified of the sun.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
It's going to give you cancer.
Yeah. Like slathering the sunscreen on.
And the mask thing, that's like antisocial, right? Like human beings are naturally social. We're meant to be with one another. We're meant to love one another. We're meant to actually be a cohesive group of beings that like cares and like feeds one another, right? Like that's like the true sort of nature of people. But we're taught instead, like literally like hate and fear. All that is natural and only love what is synthetic. Like don't eat meat, eat, you know, processed soy or whatever. This, not that soy itself is bad, but this idea of what it is.
Yeah.
Like red dye 40 is better for you than, you know, red meat. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, okay. Like then what's the point? Right. It makes you hopeless. It makes you scared and hopeless. It makes you freak out. And then you have all these right wing people who are online who are like, every woman who's ever looked at a penis is a whore. There's no birth rates are down. And, you know, like we got to save the white race. And everything is like, mm-hmm. it's doomed from every side.
There's
like,
doomers there's, on both sides.
And there's libtards on both sides.
Mm-hmm. There are doomers on both sides. Yeah. It was funny when like I was with A recently. We were with friends and like people were just sort of sunning themselves. And like for the first time ever, I like was just like, I'm gonna lay in the sun for like, you know, 45 minutes and I'm not gonna worry about sunscreen. I'm just gonna lay here. And it was like fine.
Yeah,
like,
you're fine.
Totally fine.
Yeah. You feel good afterwards. You're like, oh, I'm like,
feel good afterwards. And like maybe my face was like a little red or whatever, but it like wasn't a big deal. Like, I don't know. It was just funny because I feel like some of this stuff is so internalized. It's like you can't, it's like you still feel like the slightest hesitation at doing this like thing that seems so just like
it kind really of- feels like sacrilege. It's interesting. It's really I notice the sun thing so much. And it's like I live in a very northern like latitude as well. And so like the sun here is nothing. Like, I mean, in right. Florida, like you actually do get some like real sun. Like if you spend a long time out in the sun, like you will get fucked up. But like,
there's leather people out here.
Yeah. Like up where I live, like literally even like peak summer, like it's, and people, you know, it there's really like very minimal risk and people here are just so obsessed with sunscreen.
Even in the sun though, like even out here where there's sun, there's like sun worshiper people like dressing all white and they're just super tan, you know, like mm-hmm. a lot of them are fine.
Yeah, like, oh, for sure.
Like a lot of people get skin cancer for like completely like secondary and tertiary reasons.
Oh yeah, there's like, dietary
and like predispositions, you
know, predisposition.
And there's like people who live like look at I mean, look
well,
at
and
like
actually,
African
sunscreen
people.
Is carcinogenic too. So that's
another yeah. Challenge. But like, look at the Africans. Uh-huh. Like, they don't have right. like not everybody in Africa is not cooking. Everybody in like in Iraq isn't just dead from the sun. Like, people adapt to this. Like, mm-hmm. human beings will figure out. Like you were saying, like if the climate's really ending, like going to end the world, we'll figure a way to live. It's the same thing with nature. Like, if it's really bad for us, we will adapt to it. Like,
yeah,
the human adaptation is a real thing in every sense of the word, whether that's like technically or like naturally, there is a aspect to us that will figure out how to survive.
Totally. I mean, part of the problem is like they've separated us so much. Like, it's like, you know, And by they, whatever, the regime, the elites, or even just like us,
with
like
maybe them,
just,
yeah.
Maybe we just did it to ourselves, yeah. but it's like we're so separated. Like our jobs are like largely symbolic now. Like they don't have anything to do with the land. You know, it's like all these like symbols and stuff on computers. And like our lives are so disconnected. Like, you know, like even in the last, like there was a little bit of a economic shakeup in my household. And like for the last month, we've been like cooking every night. And even just like moving like ingredients with your hands. And, like it feels so healthy and like good, you know?
Yeah.
Like I live in like this place where like I could theoretically never do that. You know what I mean? I could just constantly eat this like zog slop all day and like go out to eat, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, we're so disconnected from like the labor of like what it used to take to keep us alive that I think that that's part of what like makes these people so paranoid about something like the sun. It's because they just have, they're like, so disconnected from their instincts, you know?
For sure. Like, I mean, I saw somebody the other day, like I've been kind of like on this new account on Twitter, I've been a little bit, I've been like being very careful with what I say. I've been not tweeting a lot because I started to notice that like I was getting too affected by things and like the doomerism and like the disconnection. It's the same thing. Like I said, there's right-wing libtards too. Like there's those people who are like, so convinced, well, they're so convinced that like women and men need to hate each other, and that if they don't have this sort of constant battle of the sexes, that's like, that's right-wing doomerism too. Like it's coming from every side. And like, I've really been on this idea, especially lately this last week, of like, we actually need to love one another. And it sounds so silly, but it's exactly what you're talking about. Like, we need to move the ingredients around. Like, we need to be in the room together. We need to look at each other in the face and, like, be happy that we're with one another. Like, it can't always be, like, the Jews and Palestine. And it can't always be, like, men and women and gays and transgender and vaccines and the government and Trump. And, like, at some point in time, it has to be, like, hey, man, like, isn't this really good food? Like, isn't this wine good? Aren't we having a good time? Like, aren't you so happy that we're alive and we're here together and we're like, and it's so simple, but like, it seems like the hardest thing to do is to have intimacy with you, like your fellow man in like in like a normal way. And it just, I don't know. I'm like a becoming a hippie or something, but like,
no, I know I what it's you true. Mean. And it, but you know, it is true. And I think, I mean, I definitely try to do that with like, with gratitude. And like, obviously that is just a complete, like basic, whatever concept, but like, it is like extremely important. And you get wrapped up in like, you're saying like everything that's wrong with the world and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, at the same time, there's all this stuff right in front of you that is beautiful and great about, I mean, just having healthy kids and, you know, like food on the table and like all that, like that really is like a miracle, you know, and you should be grateful for that.
Absolutely. And we're here talking right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like we become friends. We have a conversation, get to know one another. Like this is what technology, this is the positive side of the internet and technology, is like we get to have friendships in ways and interactions with people we don't know in ways that we otherwise wouldn't be able to. And like, what a great gift to be able to have that and to make the world a little smaller so that we could, I don't know, be affected in some way that might carry on with us after the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I think the flip side of, or like the thing that frustrates me in my life is like, it's so rare to encounter people who you can just have a truly like open, authentic conversation with, because most people are almost just like automatons with running a script on any particular time. As soon as it goes back to, that Trump or whatever. And it's like, okay, now we're off on this thing. And I kind of just need to like stay silent to like get through the interaction pleasantly.
Yeah.
I think part of that's a little bit like, I mean, just knowing you so well, like, I think part of that's a little bit like your personality. Like, I don't know. I don't notice you wanting to make waves a lot, but I feel like in one-on-one situations, you kind of can push back on people and get them to say things you'd be surprised by. I don't know. You haven't noticed that when you're just one-on-one with someone. I get in a group setting. I get in your, if you're like, you're with a bunch of other like parents and it's like, you're like, I get it. But like, I feel like one-on-one, I've been shocked at what I've been able to kind of like say to people and like get them just, and like often they like do share like a not
complete. I have not really had that. I mean, some, of course there are some people, you know, some people, but.
I mean, maybe this is my like seeking out chaotic women that you make fun of me for, but like, I guess I mean, and there's definitely a lot of downsides to that, but like, I do feel like I've been able to find that even, like, I've been pretty shocked at times at what I've managed to get people to kind of say when you're one-on-one with them in particular.
I'm pretty irreverent. In person is what I've been told. Like people say,
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm kind of irreverent, and I like sort of probably I'm like annoying to people at times. So that's what I meant. I didn't mean anything offensive about your personality.
No, I'm just saying like
you're not someone who I think like is constantly trying to push buttons, and I kind of am someone who's like sort of constantly trying to push buttons. So I don't know. That's all
I'm always in a position to where I feel like I have to break the ice. And the only way I know how to do that is to say the truth. And the only way I know how to be truthful is to be weird. And the only way I know how to be weird is to be myself, right? So it's kind of like I'm always in situations to where even my boss was like, wow, like you just don't hold back, do you? Because I have no problem saying whatever thing comes to mind because I trust that people feel the same way I do, generally speaking. Even people who are very different than me, I think on some level, even if it makes them afraid, they kind of like it. They kind of like to be like, well, what are we getting into right now? Like, I very rarely have met anybody who's like, I've met some people who are kind of like, whoa, like, what's going on with you? Like, this is not appropriate. But some people
to me, it's
like,
almost more just like, it doesn't compute. It's like, you've gone off script and they kind of don't know what to do. Cause it's like, especially if it's someone that they like you, they have a favorable impression of you. Yeah. And so they don't, it's like what, but he said the thing that like the bad people think. So that
I get that
have
a lot
really
with,
been what he said.
You I know? Get that a lot with Q people. Cause I have a lot of Q people cause I'm in Florida and I'll be like, yeah, I'm all in with them. And then the second that they kind of launch into like their little Q thing, I'm like, yeah, but like, you know, Trump's really big on the whole transgender thing, and I just don't like that. And they're like, I have seen a couple people be like, well, hey, you know, like Big Daddy Trump's going to come back around. He's going to save the day. I'm like, yeah, hey, look, man, I like him too. And I voted for him, but like, you know.
Yeah, you know what?
The vaccine.
I'm gonna throw a late in the episode bone to faggots because one thing I'll say about faggots, and I think they were kind of like this during COVID too. And like, I think they're like kind of built in sort of degeneracy and irreverence, like irreverentness makes them more open to some of these conversations than otherwise. Because like literally like all it's taken me if the few times I've talked to like,
a few times I've talked to you.
Sometimes I've talked with like in particular gay friends about or faggot friends or whatever, not gay, all the things I'm supposed to say now, like whatever you want to call them, like literally an entry point for them has always just been like literally if I just say something like, but Trump like was kind of funny,
right?
Like just that is enough to get them to like, they'll be like, yeah, he was kind of funny. Like, it was funny when he called that guy a retard. Like, it was funny. Like, and maybe this is just faggots being like, they're like how they always are. Like, they're always kind of like they're pretty like not politically correct when you're around gay dudes.
Yeah, like down to clown usually.
They're not a very politically correct like group of people.
At least it used to be that way. I think that, I mean, yeah, I guess you're saying maybe it's
the ones my age. I don't know. I'm not around like 20-year-old. I'm not like one of the groomer gays, but the gays my age are still pretty down to say some pretty irreverent shit. And so even if they have this like very like kind of like outwardly lib, like you know, I've found that it's pretty easy to like break the ice with a tiny comment like that. And then they're kind of down to like, or if you say like, I remember a lot of them, even when Trump was in office during Trump derangement syndrome, they would make jokes like, well, Melania's in the White House, which is like kind of dope because she's like a former sex worker, like slut, like whore, who, you know, like,
right.
hung out with a bunch of gay dudes in New York, and her entire life for the 90s was like smoking cigarettes and doing blow with gay guys. And like, that bitch is in the White House. Like, I remember, right. I remember gay guys saying shit like that, even in the middle of the most like
crazy TBS.
Like, they were like, it is funny. Like, that is fun for the culture. Yeah. He's like up in there, you know.
No, I think you're right. I don't know. I've only encountered one guy recently because I've been at work, like talking about, like, I was doing another podcast and I was talking about fascism, and I was like really on a fascism kick, and I was like, hey, like, you know, we wouldn't have the Vatican without Mussolini, and like I was kind of saying all this like really positive stuff about it, and there was only like one guy who was like, well, fascism, that's not good. Everybody else was kind of leaned in, like, go on, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of people who were like, wait a minute, tell me more about this. What is this called again? Musa who? You know, like, but there was like one guy who was like, well, that's not very good, and Star Trek and Star Wars and Marvel, and kind of he went into script mode. Mm-hmm. But I've seen that kind of on both sides of, like,
yeah. I mean, I don't know, you're in Florida or whatever, like, I'm in an urban liberal area. My milieu is like normie professional people with kids, you know, like, they are, January 6th was like the worst thing that could ever happen, you know.
There's a lot of those people here, but I usually get them right off the jump because they kind of like look at my tattoos and they kind of think that I'm like into their thing, you know what I mean? And I usually kind of do something to deter that right away because I don't want
to. I guess I'm just around less people. I mean, I do feel like Manhattan, for all of the flack it gets, there's like a lot of like fucking dirtbag people there, you know, like,
and LA was really like liberal and super.
And even like the finance bros and stuff, like, none of them liberal, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, if you run into a group of finance bros like out at a bar, like, they're not going to be saying liberal shit. They're going to be saying like the most disgusting, like, frat boy, you know what I mean, like, shit that you can imagine. So
I think the big thing to remember is like how like insulated we are on Twitter, because like the amount of people who aren't on social media and are still living in like base reality, it, like, there's a lot more of them than you would think, but it's hard because, like, when I was in LA, it was the same thing. Everybody was super libtarded. Everybody was super, like, what you're talking about is, like, the standard out there.
Yes.
But then out here, I talk to people, and I'm like, oh, hey, are you on, like, social media? They're like, oh, no, I don't do this. And I'm like, oh, so what do you do? And they're like, I just fucking live my life, bro. Like, what do you mean? Like, and those are the people who you can just talk to. They don't give a shit. They're like, oh, really? Like, you'd be like, oh, this? And they're like, oh, really? That's crazy.
Yeah,
I do agree with A, that if you stay kind of quiet, people will automatically assume a sort of lib disposition. I do agree with that. Like, that's the baseline assumption. It's like,
yeah,
don't say anything, at least in these liberal areas, they're going to assume a baseline lib position. But like, I don't know, like, I've gotten people, like, I've just been like honest enough with anyone that I like enough that they kind of, it's like, I don't know, like, they'll be like, oh yeah, like, Quentin's, I forget, or like, I remember like one coworker recently made a joke like, oh, you always remind me you're from Texas sometimes because of like something I said, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I realized, I'm like, I haven't gone like full, I'm not like talking about fascism with her, but I'm like, at least I've made like enough of a, like, you know what I mean?
I think I could do conspiracy theorist as a bit, sort of. I could like lean into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Even that is like Alex Jones now. It's like, he's like a really bad guy. And so like anybody who's a conspiracy theorist.
Right, is bad.
Yeah.
But like, think about the trailer I sent you, how they're making a movie about how they filmed that fake moon landing. Like, you could just like make like just one joke, like,
oh yeah, predictive programming.
Isn't it weird after all that they're doing a Scarlett Johansson, Channing Tatum movie where they're faking the moon landing? Like, like, I think people are open to jokes like that. I do.
I think they are. I mean, I think they are. I think also, like, one thing I have noticed too, though, is like, if you can get someone to like you just like on a person to person level first, then sometimes they're willing to like break their own rules and be a little bad with you. You know what I mean? Like that's, you got to get them to kind of feel like that. But otherwise, like generally speaking, like, yeah, I mean, everybody's stupid. Like, what do you mean? Like, there's so many dumb people who I've had conversations. Oh, that's what I was going to say, is like the liberal mindset is that the baseline of reality is like they're weird, they're trying to be weird towards things. So anything that deviates from that even slightly is like hard for their brain to accept that you could feel that way, because in their mind, you just don't understand the concept. Because right. if you did understand, then you would agree.
If and you read the New York Times like I did.
Then yeah. So know. That's the yeah. only pushback I've had is people go, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. And I'm like, I understand and I disagree. And they're yeah. like, oh, no.
Yeah. There are third rail topics too. Like what, like I do think the trans thing is like a weird, like almost third rail topic. Like that feels very dangerous to bring up. Like
anytime I bring it up, people are quiet on every side.
Yeah. But like the thing is like, I think it's, I don't know what the New York Times is up to these days, but like they're publishing more and more like vaguely, like kind of like, like we're just asking questions trans articles.
They're walking it back now.
Yeah,
they are sort of walking
but
it
that's
back.
Just a reflection of how much public opposition there's been, and they have to kind of,
there's all those European studies too that came out that yeah. were like, actually they do kill themselves more, actually this is terrible, actually the surgery is hurting people, actually the puberty blockers don't just stop, it actually fucks people up, actually there's a lot of information that's kind of like, people are like, well, we, you know what they're doing now is we didn't say that they need to be on puberty blockers or get surgery. We just say that they deserve to have affirming care, which is like saying that the lockdowns didn't really happen, or nobody said you had to get the vaccine. It wasn't mandatory. Right. And you're like, okay, but you would ruin my life if I didn't. So
a lot of people, I think one thing that I have found interesting, not everyone, but there are people who are kind of like, they're like, if you, and again, always you have to get them alone. It's never in a group setting.
No,
they'll be like, I don't know. The trans kid shit is weird.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's like, usually after they've had like a glass or two of wine, they'll be willing to sort of like break down.
Let me just tell you this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they'll be willing to sort of break down and like say the naughty thing to you, but it's never in a, you can't do, I totally agree that in a group setting, everyone has to sort of be like the automaton, like follow the script sort of. And honestly, I hate to say it, but like that's true even in like whatever like alt-right spaces I've been in too, to an extent, you know what I mean? Like it's not, it's just like, I don't know, but it's worse. It's way worse on the left, I promise.
It is. I've been in some like, I've been in some really like racist chats recently, and like it was how I found out that I wasn't racist. Because once you get around the people who are really into it, you're like, oh, whoa, this is like a you guys have like a different level here. I just don't want to get shot in Chicago. Like you,
I know. Well, that's what I love about people. The super lib argument of like, well, all white people are inherently racist and blah blah blah. It's like, no, like I can assure you, there's me, and then there's some people who are like actually racist and will tell you that they are racist.
Yeah, and also they want to do something about it too.
Yeah. I can introduce you now to some racists. Like now I've really met some like scary people, and I can promise you this is not all white people.
And that's the thing though, is like once you have that though, you have that extreme experience. Like it was the same thing with seeing my friends reject me because I didn't support them transitioning, was the same as talking to a real racist person. And like you kind of get like your own personal little Overton window, right? Where you're suddenly like, oh, actually, I'm pretty normal here in the middle. And overall, really what I want is the same thing that everybody else wants, which is just like safety and the freedom to go about living my life without being like harassed if I don't agree with whatever swill is being shoved down my throat by like the media, you know. But there are those people who really live on the fringes, and those are the people who like will scare you straight, I guess.
No, I mean, I've definitely been freaked. I've definitely realized from some Twitter group chats that I've been added to, I'm like, whoa, I am not this.
Yeah.
Like I might be like, I wish black people could like not scream at the top of their lungs in the subway.
Right. Normal human behavior.
Yeah, like I may have like a vague opinion like that. Like, God, it's always a black guy who's right. like freaking the fuck out at 7 a.m. Like, could we just not have that? Like, I may have an observation like that, but I'm like, listen, if you're going to tell me that's racist, that vague observation, let me just introduce you to some,
yeah.
some real motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. There's always those people who are talking about traditional neighborhood design and things like that. And, you know, they're putting parentheses around them. And, you know, you're kind of like, okay, man, like.
Or, like, I've heard, like, I mean, like, dudes who are, like, I would never, like, if a girl ever had once slept with a black guy, like, she's, like, no white man should right. ever sleep with
her again. She's bringing coal or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, she's over. Okay, I have to show you guys something because I know we're running-ish out of time, but someone just sent me this, the can't stop laughing at it. This is the new Miss Delaware Teen USA.
It's the Down syndrome girl.
Oh, have you guys seen it yet?
No.
No.
Is she Down syndrome?
Oh my God. She's Down syndrome, yeah.
Hello.
I'm and it's not like Miss Disability. It's like, that's it's just like the actual, normal. Like, wow.
What is her name? Yeah. Miss Delaware?
And then I'm not going to say the name, but in this, because I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble. I'll tell you guys off the air. But someone was just telling me about this whole story about like a kind of semi-famous Twitter figure who I guess like the rumor is that he like he's like a comedian and he like fucked a Down syndrome girl like in his after his set like in the what? Car. And then like I was thinking about once I heard this rumor, I was thinking about that new commercial where the Down syndrome girl is like believe she was like believe I can drink, believe I can read Shakespeare, believe I can have sex, and maybe I will. And I was like are we headed toward like a it's okay to fuck Downs girls? Like
that's
are
why yeah. would it be wrong, Q? They're just like us.
I mean, but is that where we're headed, do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything that can happen will happen at this point. Like they'll try it. If it can happen, they're gonna try it.
Was there a Down syndrome Victoria's Secret model? I can't remember.
It was Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
Remember, I think Nick Mullen, he had like a whole bit on it that was like talking about, because they had that TV show on Netflix that was like Rock of Love or something like that. Or what's it called? It was a show. It was literally about them pairing up retarded people. And it was like an autistic guy with a Down syndrome girl. And the autistic guy would be like, do you like doing this? And she'd be like, yes, I like everything. I like everything. And there he's like, do you want to kiss me now? And she goes, yes, I'd like to kiss you. And it was like, you could tell, like, it was like talking to a peanut. Like, there was like nothing going on in her head.
Oh my God.
She was just experiencing sensation constantly. And the guy was like, and then at one point, and then the comic book came to life, and do you want to kiss me? And she would be like, yes, please kiss me again. I love you. We'll be together.
We're really headed in that direction. I feel like it's because they're making more autistic and retarded and Down syndrome people because of all the vaccines. So now they have to like kind of have to like normalize.
Well, they're even phasing in all the politicians who are like retarded now.
Right, Fetterman. But Fetterman's weird. Like the new videos of Fetterman are all him saying like just like. Like saying fuck off to like Palestinian protesters. I think that's
kind of funny. He has like stroke rage now, yeah he's I think is like his thing.
I think also though, like Fetterman, in his defense, I don't like him, but in his defense he kind of represents like the average American person. Like he's I think he's more representation for
in
like,
that he's anybody. Retarded.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I was recently
a lot of people like him in this country.
I recently went to like way out in Jersey to a like chain restaurant, whatever. It was Chevy's, okay. And I remember looking. Oh, and then I also went to a Chili's when I was in Virginia, and I was like looking around, and I was like, wow, everyone does look fat and retarded. Like I felt like such an urban. Like I was like, God, I'm like so awful to think that, but like I'm like they really do all look fat and retarded.
That's
like,
most of the country.
Yeah,
that's most of the country. I had to when I came to Florida. I was like, wait, I am a liberal coastal elite. What the hell is going on here? Yeah. Because once you get around it, you're like, hold on. Everybody in Michigan. I'm from Michigan. Everybody in Michigan. All of my family are like fat and stupid and like happy to be that way.
I like ate so little because I was like, I was just like so scared.
Like,
I was,
I'm gonna become one of them.
Like, like I could like slip
seed into oils. Q.
I know.
That's the thing is like you like when you start to realize it, it's actually just like pockets of people who are like cogent and like normal and like kind of cool, and then everybody else is just like a mass of stupidity, or they're like an insane libtard like sim person who's like, oh, Ukraine, oh, Ukraine, oh, Ukraine, you know, and you're like, oh my god, shut the hell up. Like,
yeah.
I'll take the fat Zog slot people over the ladder, the like
absolutely.
What do you call, what are those things called? The NPCs. Yeah. I'll take that over the live NPCs.
Absolutely. I don't want the libs are freaking insufferable. However, there's a lot of cool shit that I've started to realize recently that I'm like, this is a lib concoction that like, if our people were in control, this is actually be like, I like Starbucks now. I never drank Starbucks. I was always like, that's woke coffee or whatever. I started drinking Starbucks. Hey, listen, brother. I am here to sing the praises of Starbucks. It is so good.
I'm a Dunkin' guy.
I like Dunkin'. Yeah.
I have left Dunkin'. I am over Dunkin'. I am Starbucks to the bone now. As of this month, I am converted and I'm converting.
Okay? Wow. That's a strong opinion.
It just has to become our coffee. You know what I mean? Like, we have to take over because, like, Dunkin' doesn't belong to me anymore. Dunkin' belongs to everybody else.
I mean, I will say, like, I love saying our side, but everyone knows what I mean. Our side really can turn anything into their thing, though. Like, exactly. I mean, to be honest, Lana Del Rey, like, if we really met her, is probably two or three steps up from the retarded Victoria's Secrets model. Like
I've actually met Lana Del Rey.
Okay, well, so maybe she's really smart.
I'm just saying, I met her one time. She came into the salon I was working at. This guy, Frankie, I know, he was doing her hair. She was super sweet. She was just really weird about people. She thought that anybody who was on their phone near her was, like, videotaping her.
Mm. I'm sure that happens a lot.
Well, that was the thing. She kept being like, please don't videotape me. Anytime somebody would, like, lift their phone, she would be like, please don't videotape me. But to be fair, there was, like, 50 people outside, like, filming her, like through the
gay dudes at the salon,
you know? And all the paparazzi people. Like, I saw the Kardashians; they definitely like call the paparazzi on themselves.
Yeah,
but Lana Del Rey did not. Lana Del Rey was being stalked by people, like paparazzi and fans. Like, once they catch wind of her, it's like. But she was really sweet.
I'm sure that's an annoying fucking way to live. Anyway, my point with even bringing her up was, like, our side of Twitter has totally reclaimed her as some, like, fascist Americana.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but, like, I don't really, I bet if you met her, like, yeah. I highly doubt, like, any of that is, like, in her actual, like.
She's just writing songs.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't think, I think she's, like, kind of zanned out and, like, stoned.
Like, living in L.A. too, like, the L.A.
Yeah, like, I highly doubt she's thinking about that stuff. But I'm just saying, we can adopt Starbucks if you want us to. Like, I feel like I feel like people can make it a
I believe thing. You should listen to me. An iced coffee, light cream, light sugar, shot of espresso, okay? It turned me around. I even get their brewed coffee. I get the blonde, and I get cream and sugar in it. I used to only drink black coffee from Dunkin'. Now I just drink the straight up cream and sugar inside of the Starbucks. It's so fucking good. So good.
You can do this. You can
try the cream and sugar at Dunkin'.
I'm evangelizing.
And it's not burnt coffee.
Dunkin', they always fuck it up. And also, here's the thing about the burnt coffee thing. It is true that they have certain brews that taste like they have been lit on fire. The blonde coffee is not it. That one is good. Their iced coffee, I don't know what that brew is. It's Pike's Place or some bullshit. That one's good to go too. I can't speak for all the mixed drinks, but every time I go to fucking Dunkin' over here, there's one good Dunkin' that makes your drink right. Everybody else fucks it up. They put too much milk in that shit, or they put too much sweetener in it. Starbucks, they get it right every single time.
I love my Dunkin' morning guy. I wish I could say his name, but then I'm like, what if someone knows?
That's so funny.
He has such a cool name. But anyway, he's like a sweet, like 22-year-old kid who's like kind of good looking, and he always makes my coffee perfect. So I don't know.
Not to get crazy about the coffee thing, but have you had McDonald's coffee?
Yeah. Yeah,
I like that. McDonald's shit's coffee. So good too. Fuck up a McDonald's coffee too.
The McDonald's iced coffee, yeah, is the shit.
But I used to drink Army coffee, which is like eating poison. So like, I will drink any coffee and I'll be happy with it.
I remember one time A and I had McDonald's coffee and breakfast because we took our passed out friend to McDonald's because that was the only place open to wait for him to wake up.
Oh, yeah.
after a horrible night. So anyway,
I'll drink any coffee. I don't really care.
McDonald's memory for the listeners if you made it this far. Well, we usually wrap up around an hour and a half. So, yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to ask, Eric?
I think you guys are really great. I just want to say that I really like you guys. I like what you have to say on Twitter. I think that you are both nice people who have good insight into things. This is like my 9th account, and I've kind of lost my spirit to tweet. But I really like what you guys are doing. I appreciate you guys having me on. And I might add you guys. I have another group chat, but I haven't been involved in it recently. It's called the Golden Hearts Record Club. It's just a music group chat. So if you ever want to join a music group chat, I can put you in that.
Yeah, always open to.
But I really like you guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. And I'm glad that we got to be
on. Thanks so much.
It was a lot of fun.
Such a sweetheart. I've liked your posting since. I guess 2 accounts ago, and I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you didn't give up on the whole thing. So
no, I guess. And new record coming out soon, and then I'm gonna do something else artistically. I'm gonna take a step away from Gold Pony, and I got a new other thing that I'm gonna do professionally. So if anybody wants to hear Gold Pony, it's not going. I'm not gonna stop doing it forever. I'm just gonna attempt it.
Yeah,
but I hope everybody will check out the new thing because. I don't know, who doesn't like disco music?
We'll tweet it out. We'll tweet it out like crazy. We'll definitely up your
stuff.
So
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, do we have a call? We don't have a sign off yet. I've been trying homies and homos. Do you have an idea for a sign off for us, Gold Pony?
Sign off? You say, I don't know, like dream of me. Dream of me while you sleep. Dream of me tonight. So you got to get, this is my final piece of, I'm going to give you guys a piece of advice, and I've been giving this out to everybody, and I'm going to give it to you. The older you get, the more you know yourself, and the easier it is to communicate who you are. The less there is for people to wonder about you. The key to staying creatively fresh is to become more abstract and more bizarre as you age. So that you are not too grounded in reality and too accessible to people. Allow yourself to become weirder. Let your sign off be something spooky and mystical. Freak all right, these people
I'm going to go with a variation of what you said. Yes. So we'll see you in your dreams tonight.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Oh, all right. Bye, guys.
All right.